Okay, sorry about that. It's just
okay. Not sure where I left off.
Oh, you're talking about the wing of Hillside.
Oh yeah.
Scholarship connection.
And that's been going on for over 20 years, I believe, in Rochester. They have 1,500 kids in their program mm-hmm. there. It was started by I think it was Robert Wegman, Danny Wegman's
oh, really?
Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Wegmans is a very strong partner in this program. Mm-hmm. They're like the best corporate partner I've ever heard of.
Really?
They not only do they put their money where their mouth is, I mean, they the reason it's called Work Scholarship is that our high school kids, we train them. We just finished last week. We had 25 hours of training mm-hmm. for a group of kids. Thus, they then qualify to get jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So we get them jobs. These are kids who not only want jobs but need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they have to keep their grades up and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. So Wegmans is providing right now, by August of this year, they will have over 80 jobs for kids, our kids.
Oh, really?
Which is amazing. Plus, mm-hmm. they have mentors mm-hmm. there at the site,
mm-hmm.
their own people become
mm-hmm.
mentors for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really remarkable organization.
Hmm.
So my job, and when you're talking about how this whole thing evolves,
mm-hmm.
is I'm just about to start this, really going out there and trying to get more jobs, though, because if we grow to the size of Rochester, I need a lot more than 80 jobs for these kids.
Hmm.
So we're about to do an extensive reach out to the business community.
Mm-hmm.
We have an advisory. My advisory board is meeting here on Monday,
mm-hmm.
a week from today. And that's going to be the main topic of discussion is, you know, give me some names and contacts. I
mm-hmm.
need to go out there and start talking to people. Because it's a really good thing for a business. I mean, Wegmans will tell you that. They aren't doing it strictly out of altruism.
Mm-hmm.
That the kids become really good employees because they're well-trained.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're supporting them, so
mm-hmm.
they've got a good work ethic. And they have a much higher retention rate there. You know, they say they save in Rochester $1 million a year by hiring work scholarship kids.
Really?
Because they don't have to retrain. Because
mm-hmm.
they're, you know, they,
mm-hmm.
an organization like a grocery store, they rely a lot on teenage
mm-hmm.
employees.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a constant turnover and all that,
mm-hmm.
you know, not reliable, and, you know, because they're kids.
Mm-hmm.
But our kids tend to be much more reliable. And it's great for our kids because they're good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They pay them well. They treat them beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very flexible about the hours. They want to make sure the kids keep their grades up.
Mm-hmm.
But if they need extra time over vacations, they give them extra time. Summers, they've got a job already. Kids are always looking
mm-hmm.
for jobs in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Our guys already have a job.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to college,
mm-hmm.
they come back for the summer, they got a job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of them go on and make a career out of it at Wegmans.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great partnership, and we're
mm-hmm.
looking to
mm-hmm.
extend it to other businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty pretty neat. And
they also have scholarships for the kids. Any
mm-hmm.
kid who works at Wegmans, when he graduates, they give him $1,500 a year
mm-hmm.
for each year that they stay in school.
$1,500? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So
which they can use for anything they want.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Yeah, so pay for books.
Yeah, yeah. So does Hillside have any relationship with the Wegman family? Or
Is
it run by them or sponsored by them?
No, it's just this wing of it. Just the work scholarship part.
Okay,
is
so
where
the
Wegman's the
mm-hmm.
connection is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Danny Wegman sits on the board of for work scholarship.
Okay,
in
and it was started by the father who just died a few years ago.
I'm pretty sure it was the father who started. It might have been Danny. I'm not sure which one actually started it,
mm-hmm.
but one
mm-hmm.
of them did.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're looking for other community partners, other organizations to do similar things.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Hmm. Do you have anybody else that does that type of thing at the moment? Any other major corporations
that's working with us?
Yeah, yeah.
No, not at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We are hopeful. You
mm-hmm.
know, we're looking particularly in the health related fields, you know,
mm-hmm.
hospitals,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, because
mm-hmm.
they hire a lot of young people.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a couple of connections there. I haven't actually sat down with them yet,
mm-hmm.
so I don't want to
mm-hmm.
say anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a number of folks help us financially, you know,
mm-hmm.
like Excellus
mm-hmm.
and some other folks, M&T Bank and
mm-hmm.
different banks. People have been quite generous. But the employment piece
mm-hmm.
is a different challenge. So
mm-hmm.
right now, we're fine with Wegmans. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't have 80 kids in jobs yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That could change real fast if this
mm-hmm.
whole say yes thing comes through and we
mm-hmm.
end up with with 500 kids next year.
And their Wegmans is all over the city, so you could sort of send them to the, right. the Pond Street or the DeWitt or the North Side. And, and do you provide transportation for the kids? Or?
We try to have the kids become self-reliant. Mm-hmm. So if they can get there on a bus, mm-hmm. we expect them to take the bus. Mm-hmm. Where it gets to be problematic is when we get outside the city. Like mm-hmm. we've got a couple kids working in Fairmont right now, mm-hmm. so we are providing transportation for them. Mm-hmm. And we are going to have to go into even Northern Lights and places like that in order to take full advantage of the job opportunities. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we will have to help them with mm-hmm. that. We have a couple of vans, mm-hmm. And we have some money in our budget to hire drivers. Mm-hmm. We don't have the drivers yet. But when we do, they'll set up a schedule and mm-hmm. they'll drive the kids safely there and safely home. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be too enabling, but at the same time, if they don't have a parent with a car or whatever, then mm-hmm. we've got to help them out.
Right, right. Well, that's a common problem, too, with jobs and spatial mismatches. Right. So
yeah. Yeah, and there's some other, mismatch issues, too. I mean, our kids sometimes are a little uncomfortable in settings. Mm-hmm. 96% of our kids are minority students, African American, Latino mostly, and so they don't always feel comfortable in Northern Lights or someplace mm-hmm. where the folks are almost all Caucasian. But our kids are pretty resilient, and we work with them on that, and they're pretty mm-hmm. they're usually okay.
Great, great. So what's a day like for you? A typical day for you? Yeah, you are the director of
Hillside Work Scholarship mm-hmm. Connection in Syracuse. Mm-hmm.
Hillside Work Scholarship Connection, 647, that's why the tape record is helpful, in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And also the director of the Choice Program, or how?
Well, the Choice Program is, when Hillside spoke to me, we were in discussions with Hillside for about a year mm-hmm. about some kind of possible partnership. Mm-hmm. And they were open to it because mm-hmm. they felt that their middle school piece wasn't very strong, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And ours was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we talked about kind of marrying mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the two, but they were also looking at the very same time to expand here in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. There were only 33 kids in work scholarship here in Syracuse mm-hmm. last year. Mm-hmm. So they were looking to expand. They'd gotten a grant or something. And they talked to me. They asked me whether I'd be interested in being the executive director mm-hmm. here. And I told them that I really wasn't mm-hmm. because I loved the Choice Program.
Right.
I loved what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
But they convinced me that, they had more ways, more support mechanisms built in mm-hmm. to try to find money. Mm-hmm. And to me, finding money means you can help more kids. Mm-hmm. And that's all mm-hmm. I wanted to do was help mm-hmm. more kids. Mm-hmm. So, and then they also consented to let me bring all my Choice kids with mm-hmm. me, mm-hmm. since I wasn't abandoning them. And that I could use the Choice model mm-hmm. as the focus for the middle school piece mm-hmm. of work scholarship. Mm-hmm. So, to answer your question, mm-hmm. Our 7th and 8th graders, we call ourselves Choice at Hillside. Mm-hmm. So it's basically the Choice model. I'm still the director. Mm-hmm. And then as the kids transition out of 8th grade into high school, they go into the Hillside Work Scholarship Connection model. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they've also were open to let me bring some of my experiences and some of my ideas into the model. Mm-hmm. They've been very supportive of that, and they told me they would be right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. They've got a proven model. They mm-hmm. have a great success. They've got it's research-based. They've got all kinds of documentation. They've hired outside mm-hmm. groups, like mm-hmm. you pointed out to me, mm-hmm. that needed to be done, mm-hmm. but they had the means to do it. Mm-hmm. So they brought in the CGR report. What does the CGR stand for? Something government research. They did two independent studies of the program mm-hmm. and gave mm-hmm. it some really good mm-hmm. reviews. They had a control group and mm-hmm. all mm-hmm. that stuff that we weren't able to do before, but they were able to do
it. Oh, they did that with theirs before you met them?
Yes.
So
they did two separate studies with looking at cohorts with an independent, mm-hmm. with a group that was receiving work scholarship mm-hmm. support and a control group, mm-hmm. with both groups having similar risk factors. Mm-hmm. And what they discovered was that the control group graduated at a rate of in the low 30s. Mm-hmm. The kids who were in work scholarship graduated at a rate in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So about twice, you know, the graduation rate. I believe that they can get better than that. I believe that they can go even higher. And I think one of the things, again, is the academic focus. I think the academic support piece could be strengthened here, and people have been open to that, and we've tried some things, and we're going to try some more things.
All right. So now that I know what agency, you know, what organization, what you are director of, what is a typical day like for you?
Well, as you'd expect, there's no such thing as a typical day. A day like today, you know, I meet with my staff this morning. If I wasn't meeting with you right now, I'd probably be out in the schools. We are in 8 schools right now, all 4 high schools and 4 different middle schools. So I might go around to schools to see how my youth advocates are doing. I do have a manager who does that also, but I still like to do that. I would be, a lot of my time is going to be spent in the very near future meeting with folks in the community, looking for more funding and looking for more job opportunities, employment opportunities for the kids. That's going to be a big focus of my time for the next couple of months or so, I mean, depending on how well it goes. Last week we had 26 kids in here during their vacation, receiving that training that I was talking about, that youth employment training piece. So I was actively involved in that the entire week. So that took up the entire week, every day, 5.5, 6 hours with the kids. Unfortunately, I have to drive to Rochester 4 or 5 times a month because the hub is still there. So there are meetings to go to there. That's my least favorite thing to do. We bring kids over here on Wednesday afternoon, right after school, because we still have an ongoing partnership with Des Moines College where they have their future teachers come over here, and they work with our kids providing tutoring help. So they benefit from that. We benefit. Our kids benefit. I make a point to be here for that just to make sure that it runs smoothly. So it's, you name it, you know, it's certainly a busy schedule all the time.
Great. What would you say was one of the largest challenges in setting this program up and bringing it to where it is now?
Well, the challenge is what we do is the challenge. I mean, we're working with kids that are wonderful kids. I love these kids. You know, they're smart, they're resilient, they're talented, but they're coming from some god-awful situations. And so it is very, very challenging to get anybody, especially a teenager, to do what they should do to help themselves. It's a tough, tough challenge. I think the particular challenge to me, and this may also get to your last question, the first 4 years when we were relatively small, I had no manager. It was me and my youth advocates. And I really enjoyed that because I was directly involved with those kids every day, personally. And every single afternoon, we had kids over at our program. And I got to then talk to those kids, counsel those kids, redirect those kids. I mean, I had a lot of experience with that as a teacher and a principal. So, you know, I'm pretty good at that. And I could model it for my youth advocates who were young and inexperienced in that. And that kind of combination, I think, was very dynamic and was, and it, I think it really worked. I know that's why it worked. Challenge I'm having right now is that we're getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I can't do that. I don't know all the kids personally anymore. It's not going to be practical for me to know them. I have to rely more on my youth advocates and my manager and folks like that. And I have good people, but they're not experienced. I mean, if you add up all their years, they're not going to total mine. And so they're so the challenge, the biggest challenge I find for myself right now is to get my guys to be as optimally effective as I want them to be. And where that really plays out is in getting our kids to work with us after school. That's mm-hmm. the biggest challenge. Before, it was a challenge, but we handled it because we brought them. We picked them up in our cars. We brought them over to St. Anthony's. We had them there. They were there till 5, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night some nights. Mm-hmm. They'd stay as long as we let them. Mm-hmm. And we were able to, you know, counsel and build our relationships and tutor them and help them and give them a quiet place to get their homework mm-hmm. done, etc. Mm-hmm. Can't do that now because we don't have the transportation and we don't have the place. Mm-hmm. So I've created this, you know, at the school thing. Mm-hmm. I've got tutors at the schools. I found money for that. But I'm not getting the numbers of kids staying after that I want. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's the key. Mm-hmm. That's the key. And the reason that's the key is, very quickly, is all kids go into the same classrooms right this minute in all four of our high schools, and the playing field's pretty level. They're in the classroom, teacher's there, whether it's good or bad, it's all the same for all the kids. Mm-hmm. But 80% of the grade that teacher is going to give, maybe more, mm-hmm. is going to be determined by something the kid does outside of that classroom. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, they're just sitting there right now. It's pretty passive. They're getting mm-hmm. lectured at or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be dependent on homework, projects, studying for tests. Mm-hmm. All that happens outside the classroom. Mm-hmm. Well, as soon as the kids leave the school at 2:10 this mm-hmm. afternoon, mm-hmm. playing field is not level anymore. Mm-hmm. The kids we're working with are coming from situations where they're not able to do those things. Mm-hmm. And unless we provide the support and structure for them, mm-hmm. they're not going to pass, mm-hmm. a lot of them. And I'm, at this moment, I'm frustrated because I'm not getting as many kids staying after school as I would like. Mm-hmm. Our kids are doing well. We've got a pretty high success rate right mm-hmm. this minute, but it's not as high as I want. Mm-hmm. You know, I want them all.
Mm-hmm. So it was different under the older model before you had... Mm-hmm. Before you combined, when you had a place, and because they would, kids wanted to come there more than they wanted to mm-hmm. stay after school.
Yes, yeah. They psychologically, and I knew this was the case, but I didn't. Now I'm positive of it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was. I had it, but I didn't have to worry about it. Now I do. Mm-hmm. Here's what happens. Psychologically, the kid who wants to get out of the building, mm-hmm. they've been there all day long. Mm-hmm. Second factor, mm-hmm. too many distractions. You know, we have a couple of nice rooms that we take mm-hmm. the kids to. This is the Hillside room. Come on in. We're going to get mm-hmm. our work done. Mm-hmm. But there's kids in the hallway. There are kids mm-hmm. running in and out. You know, it's just mm-hmm. just a school. It's normal. Mm-hmm. So they're not focused mm-hmm. as I'd like them to be. Mm-hmm. They'll stay till 3 o'clock a lot of times, and they'll say, I want to catch that late bus. Mm-hmm. That's the last late bus. Boom. So they're gone. Mm-hmm.
What time do they get out of school usually?
2:10, so high school.
So it's about 50 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not much that 50 minutes is actually focused, you know, because yeah, you got to talk to your friends and stuff. You're mm-hmm. in the hallway. You know, you're a kid. Mm-hmm. So what I'm proposing right now, and I'm meeting with my boss next week, is that, I already talked to the superintendent about it, I need a building or two for after school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and a couple more vans. Mm-hmm. And we could do it. I don't need every kid. If we had 1,000 kids next year, I don't need 1,000 kids every day. Mm-hmm. About 20% of them I need. I need a couple hundred kids to be able to. I can bring them someplace so the kids who are not doing as well, they're failing two or more subjects, mm-hmm. those are the kids I want with us after school.
Same,
and they'll come.
Same kids every day.
Depends. They can work their way out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can get yourself, sometimes just mm-hmm. a temporary thing to get refocused in math. Sometimes it's, I need this every day, Mr. Connor, because, you know, I just can't mm-hmm. do it at home. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to do it at home. Mm-hmm. I go home and there's too much stuff going on.
So the kids who are most failing two subjects at that time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that is a sort of a challenge, isn't it?
It is.
And one of the things that's interesting, you know, I don't know what each of these cases will be about until I have all of these mm-hmm. interviews done and they're sitting there. But ideas come up, and this is sort of a perennial theme in innovation and human services. It's sort of you have the charismatic leadership and you've got this thing working and you've been working directly with people, but then you're trying to sort of institutionalize it and make it long term.
You just summarized it. That is uh-huh. the issue, and I'm mm-hmm. not saying this to mm-hmm. to brag, but mm-hmm. but the charismatic, mm-hmm. energetic leader thing mm-hmm. is, you know, he's like cult of personality. But then the challenge mm-hmm. is, mm-hmm. how do I keep this going with larger numbers? Because I can't do that.
And that's you stepping, you know, you're taking yeah. that charisma out. So, I mean, this sort of brings, and that's sort of a really interesting theme. How do you train, I understand the issue about, you know, bringing children to a place and having that sense of bond there, wanting to go to a place and the psychological and, you know, the distractions, but how do you the other issue is, how do you train? You mentioned earlier that a lot of the youth advocates were, you know, they're newer, or they don't have the 30-somewhat years of experience that you have. How do you how do you train them? And I mean that in the sense of, you know, practical, applied things, but also sensibilities and sensitivities. How do you work to train them?
I'll tell you what we've done, and then I'll tell you what I think we need to do. With choice, mm-hmm. program, you know, it was just me. You know, mm-hmm. it was just me sitting down and you know, giving them the overview. And when I interview, I still do this. Mm-hmm. There's certain questions I ask to try to get from that person that they have that commitment to mm-hmm. these kids, that they mm-hmm. genuinely care about these kids, and they're going to be patient and open. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking for. They're all smart. So, and I've had very good luck. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty good at interviewing, and I'm pretty good at hiring good people, mm-hmm. Which is 90% of the issue. Because mm-hmm. if you get the good people, then the rest is going to be easy. Mm-hmm. So then what, you know, I'd have them job shadow, and I'd have them, you know, follow somebody else around. But usually I need to get them into the, it's like throwing them into the water. You got to swim. Mm-hmm. And then, though, this is the other aspect of this, having this end of the day thing. Mm-hmm. It works on about 8 different levels. But the other level was, now we're all there. All my youth advocates are there. I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm modeling. Mm-hmm. I'm supporting. Mm-hmm. They're watching each other. Mm-hmm. It was like an in-service every afternoon, mm-hmm. a mm-hmm. practical, on-the-job in-service every afternoon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem I have right now is, and I've got really good people. No mm-hmm. way am I... Mm-hmm. Is this a negative? But... as they would tell you, it's an isolating job they have. It's very isolated because even though they're in a building full of kids and teachers and all those people, there's nobody else, there's no peer of theirs there. So I only have one youth advocate in each building right now. So they don't really get to have any conversation with a peer during the day or during the week usually. Mm-hmm. So, and we don't have the after-school piece. In the after-school piece, they're on their own. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's a challenge. And one of the things is, like at this morning's meeting, I've instituted staff meetings every week, which is not something they're used to here. Mm-hmm. And it isn't so, it's some part of it is to impart information, but the other part is to, you know, in service. You know, we did it today. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to them about how to review a report card with a kid, how to break it down for mm-hmm. them, and because mm-hmm. that report card conferencing is really important. You know, when your children get older, your wife and you'll sit down every time you get a report card with your kid. Mm-hmm. You'll go over it and you'll praise them for what they did well, and you'll talk about what's going on here. But I mean, you know, mm-hmm. well, our kids don't have that. Mm-hmm. It's not because their parents don't love them; it's because the parents, they don't even see the report card sometimes, mm-hmm. or they don't know how to read it, and they don't know how come your grade's low. Mm-hmm. You know, they just don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So those kinds of skills, though, mm-hmm. my folks don't know how to do it either. Mm-hmm. I had to explain to them that mm-hmm. you know. Well, he failed. I said, well, yeah, but he's not failing. If you look at the first two marking periods, we average him up. You can do it in your head real fast. Uh-huh, uh-huh. He's not failing. So you got to let him know that he's still passing, but... Uh-huh. Or you got an 80, mm-hmm. but the first two grades were so low, he's still failing, mm-hmm. even with this 80. So, yeah, this is great, but we got to keep this going. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a challenge, and the bigger we get, the more of a challenge that'll mm-hmm. be. Mm-hmm. The model here with Work Scholarship is that I have a manager for every 10... youth advocates. Mm-hmm. So I have a manager, good manager, and his job really is to do what I used to do. Mm-hmm. You know, he's to be working with his youth advocates every day, mm-hmm. going to the schools, talking to them about their kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's accountability issues that you have to make sure that people are accountable for.
Yeah. How do you know if a youth advocate's working? I mean, how do you know if it's working out?
Well, a couple ways. I mean, you could easily fake it mm-hmm. On any given day, but mm-hmm. it's not going to end up that. Kids will tell you, first of all. Mm-hmm. But the second way is that, you know, I visit schools. Mm-hmm. My manager, Chauncey, visits schools. Each week, each youth advocate is required to submit a report to the manager, and it's done through their laptops. They'll have laptops. Mm-hmm. There's a computerized program software in there mm-hmm. where they talk. They have to record how many kids they met with and how long they met with the kid and what, you know, what they talked about and mm-hmm. You know, all those kinds of things. So there's a number of things that we have.
Was this something you designed for your program, or
it was designed for the program? I didn't design that. Uh-huh. I think it's a pretty good, it's called ETO, it's called Efforts Towards Outcomes, which is a really good concept, and I like it, mm-hmm. because student outcomes is what I'm concerned with. Mm-hmm. I have some issues with it that I don't, it's not flexible enough for me, it's not in the field enough for me, so I've kind of instituted some of my own things where I want to be able to see. If I walked into Fowler High School, I should be able to sit down with Rayshana over there, the youth advocate, and I devised a form for her where she can just show me how her kids are doing this week. Mm-hmm. And just have it out here so I know I can put my hand in it. Yeah. This one is what they would have. So their kids are on the left-hand side, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, is the kid in school? How many contacts have you had with them? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are they doing after school? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I can look at it. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Right, right.
And it can drive support for that youth advocate. It, mm-hmm. can, it also can drive some criticism, if mm-hmm. necessary. You know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also put off to the right-hand side over here, and I do this because mm-hmm. it's just what I want to do. I go through every report card of every kid whenever they come out. This, for instance, this child, Sean, sophomore, passing three, failing three. That was as of the 1st of... or the 2nd of January. I haven't updated this neatly yet, but mm-hmm. in my own handwriting, he's now mm-hmm. passing five, failing one, borderline mm-hmm. two, so he's making some progress. Mm-hmm. But the red means that they're in the red zone. If they're in the red zone, uh-huh. interventions need to happen. Mm-hmm. This is the accountability piece mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. This is what I've brought. This mm-hmm. was not, this is not part of work scholarship, but mm-hmm. I've made it part of it. Mm-hmm. That it's not okay mm-hmm. that we're working hard. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know, what's okay is if the kids are doing well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I want this accountability piece. And that ETO thing I was talking about really is a really good idea. It's a really good, it's a good mm-hmm. system. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to have to go into the computer and look up kids' names
right.
this afternoon.
Right. And they enter stuff right off of this into the computer.
Right. Is that what the, yeah. So this is just
that's
a,
for
it's not double,
organizational.
Yeah, right. It's not double work. That's what I've been trying to get them to understand. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I think I finally convinced them. Uh-huh, uh-huh. You had to write it down someplace
right.
for your Friday report, right?
Right?
So why don't you do it on mine?
Right.
It's nice, easy. I made yeah. it really user-friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
And that way you've got it, I uh-huh. can see it.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. One of the reasons I asked that is because as part of this class, students, they intern somewhere for the semester, and they build a database as part of a way for, to practice, because they learn how to build databases in Microsoft Access. I don't know what ETO was made in. But then... you know, and then they usually, it's another way to understand exactly what the organization does.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm interested in that. Okay, so you, now you had earlier mentioned that how you train now, but then you said, you know, you'd like to change training a bit. Mm-hmm. Did you want to talk more about that?
Well, I think kind of what I was explaining a minute ago, that I think the training needs to be ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, obviously you have to have that initial training to get the mm-hmm. person out there into the field, but then I think the training needs to be really regular.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're trying to do with these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we also will have is an occasional retreat-type training
mm-hmm.
Where we'll spend the whole day with a specific challenge. And all those, that training stuff, to me, needs to be driven by the needs of the kids. So, which is where, that's why I want this information as updated as possible, as to how the kids are doing. And then for those kids that aren't doing well, then we have, sometimes it's individual. So mm-hmm. I'd sit down mm-hmm. with you and say, all right, Frank, let's go through your kids. You know, mm-hmm. let's see how mm-hmm. we're doing. So most of them are doing fine. Okay, beautiful. Keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
What about these guys?
Mm-hmm.
And we give them, we talk it through together or as a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, service plans
mm-hmm.
for that child. You know, try to get folks to see that it's okay to come to a meeting and say, I can't get this kid. You know, mm-hmm. he's not talking to me. He's mm-hmm. not showing up. Mm-hmm. You know, he's continuing to fail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could terminate the kid, pick up mm-hmm. another kid.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done that yet this year,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I personally, they're willing to go longer with the kid than I am sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been doing it long enough to know that some kids, if the kid's not ready for this,
mm-hmm.
he's not ready for this help,
mm-hmm.
then we got to get somebody who is, because there's hundreds of them,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of them
mm-hmm.
that would love to be in this program.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned also that you're looking to put a, you know, reintegrate a component where everyone comes, or at least the most needy students, come after school
mm-hmm.
to a certain location.
Right.
And you mentioned earlier that you did a lot of modeling in the old way, where you did have a central location. I was wondering if that was part of your plan to, you talked about it in terms of an everyday practical on the job in service every afternoon. Was that all?
Not every afternoon, but you know, once a week.
Okay. Oh, so you used to do it once a week.
Well, I used to do it every day.
Every day,
sorry.
Right.
Maybe I'm mixing up.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering. It seemed to me, I thought...
It's not practical to do it every day mm-hmm. in the future.
Mm-hmm. And so you would do it once a week. But you also talked about that as not only a way to deliver intensive help to students, but also a way to train.
Right.
For this ongoing training. I was just wondering. I thought you were leading up to that. And it
well,
was,
yes. If we can... If next year, if I mm-hmm. can get... You know, what I'd like, where we could have 20% of the kids, mm-hmm. whatever the number is, on any given day over mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. a site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'd have youth advocates coming over there too,
mm-hmm.
and we'd have managerial role modeling there.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully me, although you know, as you know, if we have 1,000 kids, will I be able to be there every day to do that? I've been told I shouldn't
mm-hmm.
even try,
mm-hmm.
but I would be there enough.
Right.
You know, I have to make sure that in order to make something like we have going to take it from small and make it big and make it still mm-hmm. as effective,
mm-hmm.
somehow I have to get away from that, as you put it, that mm-hmm. charismatic mm-hmm. leader
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I think I need to do then is hire mm-hmm. charismatic leaders
mm-hmm.
or really competent
mm-hmm.
leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it'd be like when I was principal of a school with 850 kids, that's too big a school.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to create schools within a school, and that's what I need to do here. You know,
mm-hmm.
teams within the larger team. Mm-hmm. And so in other words, if we have 10 youth advocates,
mm-hmm.
you know, I've got a manager there,
mm-hmm.
and I need to have a great manager.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because a manager with, mm-hmm. managing 10 folks,
mm-hmm.
that's manageable,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and if they're the right person.
Mm-hmm. All right, great. Well, this has been very, very exciting. I just have two more questions.
Yeah.
One, how would you, what would you tell students who are taking this course? Right, they're graduating with a degree in sociology.
Okay.
Your major, I guess, was education.
Yeah, I was a social major for a while.
You were a social major.
I had more than one major as
okay.
I worked my way through school.
Okay, and then you ended up with education,
yeah.
I assume. What would you tell people who are in sociology, as sociology majors, how would they get into this line of work? And, you know, as far as career, you know, what would you say to them?
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, you know, it, there's a number of different possible ways they can go, right? I mean, you probably would know better than I, but I mean, there's school social workers, there's
mm-hmm.
social workers in various organizations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an organization like ours, somebody comes in as a youth advocate. Some of them have social degrees, but a lot of them don't. It's not required.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the practical way of getting
mm-hmm.
into it, and
mm-hmm.
then just, you know, in the field, and doesn't pay big money in the beginning, but there's room for advancement.
Can you give sort of a range for the
with us?
Yes, and in general.
Yeah, I think it's 28, 29, maybe 30.
With a bachelor's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, it'd probably be around 30 to start.
Mm-hmm.
With the benefits are good.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're working in a school, you'd be making more than that.
Mm-hmm. In a public school. Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not real thrilled with what a social worker has to do in a school, but I wouldn't want to bust anybody's balloon.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it depends on what you want to do. I just think there's just too much paperwork kind of
mm-hmm.
and social histories and stuff that, that seems like they're doing, as opposed to what I think most people, when they go into sociology, want to do is they usually want to work with people.
Right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. But that's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you got any people who might be looking for jobs out here?
Well, I might. I mean, that's another thing. I mean, I don't know if you take
interns
that would then like to work. But that would be, you know, this course would be offered in the fall, so that's when they'll be doing this. So, if
how would that work, intern-wise?
Well, they work 9 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
You could structure any way you want. That's on average, right? So, if you wanted to do it over the summer, say this summer or another summer, you know, you could combine that. But usually the kids are out, so I assume that would. But
yeah, we're still working them all summer, though.
Oh, you are? Okay, yeah. So that would be a good time as well. And yeah. So it's a total of about, you know, 126 hours around. That's what people, you know, so they don't do nine every 14
yeah, I would. I've had folks do that kind mm-hmm. of thing in mm-hmm. the past, and it's great. I mean, it's mm-hmm. one of those, mm-hmm. again, win-wins.
Mm-hmm. And it would be a good way to sort of vet people who might like a job.
Well, it would be a good way to vet. It's also a great experience for your folks, for your young people, and having them kind of figure out what they want to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. Well, my last question is, how would you define social entrepreneurship?
Social entrepreneurship.
That's, well, actually, what this research is about, or, which I consider you to be a social entrepreneur.
I never thought of it.
Or innovativeness. I mean, one of the reasons I don't start out with it is because it's hard to spell, and some people. But also, it's not.
That's good. Enough.
It's a buzzword in some places, which is why, you know, we have this grant money to study this. But it's not something we use quite often. So if you don't have a definition, how would you say you keep yourself innovative?
Well, that I could answer for you. But let me go mm-hmm. back to the original question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never thought of it as social entrepreneurship. I mean, in my case, mm-hmm. I just fell into it. I think mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. I mean, just happened to be in the right place at the right time, and then had the background. It's funny because I hadn't thought of it until just this minute that I was a social major, mm-hmm. and I was in college. It was the 60s, and mm-hmm. so I wanted to do it. Man, I wanted to save the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured sociology is the way to do it,
mm-hmm.
and then it just didn't seem like I was going to be able to get a job. Mm-hmm. So I think in my senior year I switched over to education,
mm-hmm.
but. Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, if I didn't have this job and I still wanted to keep working and with my skill set for whatever it is, I don't know. When you talk, let me ask you a question. When you talk about social
entrepreneurship, yeah.
Are we talking about entrepreneurship in the sense of starting a business, starting a...
Well, part of my research is to figure out what people think it is. From people who are doing what it seems like, it is. You know, it's sort of a
starting a not-for-profit, starting something. I think, you know, you gotta. First of all, you should have a fairly good sense of what it takes and what your target group. Mm-hmm. In my mm-hmm. case, it's mm-hmm. at-risk urban youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've got a particular mm-hmm. target group, but I think you need to identify that. And I think, you know, you're going to have to find funding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
And if you can hook up with people who can do that for you,
mm-hmm.
or if you can, you know, ideally it'd be great to have somebody who's your grant writer or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tough business. Or, you know, as opposed to just going off and getting a job as a youth advocate,
mm-hmm.
if you wanted to actually be an entrepreneur in this field, I don't know whether it's a good time or a bad time historically. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe mm-hmm. it'll get better if Democrats win. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that trend? I mean, you've been not quite in this field through it's all been one administration.
I haven't noticed. You know, on the ground, I don't see any difference.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you know that support-wise, you tend to think. I mean, Bill Walsh, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Republican, conservative,
mm-hmm.
he stepped up for us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, for 1 year, and he's talking about on his way out this year of getting us some more money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're one of those earmarks. I keep thinking earmarks are gone, but apparently they're not.
You know,
but so I don't know.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, you know, I'm sort of a dying liberal guy, so uh-huh. I'm always going to vote that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we've had Democratic legislatures, and we've had, you know, Clinton was president, and I don't remember us being in any better shape in mm-hmm. school district than we were with Bush.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember any difference.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the reasons that I'm doing this research is because a lot of students, they'll be a social major, very much like you described yourself, and they want to change the world, they want to make it better, but they oftentimes, they don't want to, they're leery to get into sort of a traditional social work, you know, school social worker or work in an agency, and so, you know, there's an interest in, well, how do you see a need, how do you start a program? You saw a need, you collaborated with others, and, you know, you've run with it. You know, how does that occur? And one of the interesting things is that it's usually not one person. It's usually a group of people. Right. And people have different resources. And so just to hear how it played out for
you. I think, you know, I hadn't even thought of it as a... But if I were doing it from scratch tomorrow, and mm-hmm. despite my age, if mm-hmm. I was, you know, had no job tomorrow, mm-hmm. you know, I could retire, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So I would try to find people to work with me. I'd try to find people who are money people, uh-huh. and I would come with the ideas. Mm-hmm. I would come with the target group. Mm-hmm. I would come with some sort of a mm-hmm. presentation of mm-hmm. what I want to do, what my plan is. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and I would probably design a program mm-hmm. very much like the Choice mm-hmm. program. Mm-hmm. I'd probably go back and try to start the Choice program. Uh-huh. Hillside Work Scholarship closed down today. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I'd go back and try to reinvent the Choice mm-hmm. program. Mm-hmm. is what I would do.
Yeah, yeah. Because you believe it, you've seen it work.
Right, because I know it works. Mm-hmm. I know the model works.
Who, money people, suppose, is that... how can students become money people? Maybe that's how they want to contribute. What is a money person? You said you'd hook up with money people.
Well, I'd hook up with people who know how to find money. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. there are some people who are really great at grant writing. There mm-hmm. there are some people... Then there's the business folks. I mean, you can't... I'm not good at this part. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always had people helping me with this. Mm-hmm. You know, I had Frank Clark did it for me for 3 years, almost mm-hmm. 4 years. He's still involved. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to worry about it. He's telling me, "Don't worry about it. You mm-hmm. run the program." Uh-huh. The best way to get money uh-huh. is to have a successful program. Mm-hmm. The best way, whenever I get in front of a group and we're sort of looking for money, mm-hmm. We're usually able to come up with some sort of contribution because I'm able to talk about, with passion mm-hmm. and experience, the kids. Yeah. And I'm able to talk about some success. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's you know, it's like, you know, where do you start? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chicken and the egg thing.
Great. Well, this has been excellent. Very helpful.
It's a very interesting concept. I've never thought of it. Social entrepreneurship.